Hello everyone, this is Aditya Mehta and you are listening to Podcast on Personality Development. We all have heard this amazing and popular definition of management. That is, management is an art of getting things done from the people. But to master this art, we need one most important aspect, and that is communication skills. In today's episode, we are going to talk specifically about that. So all the engineers and project managers out there, and all the aspiring project managers out there, this episode is just for you. And to guide us with that, we have a person who has been an engineer and now has become a career coach who has an experience of 10 years of programming and coding. So what you can do is listen to this intro music first, and I'll request you to make sure to follow this podcast so that you don't miss out any episode which is going to come in the future. And till the time, I'll bring the expert of today's show. Hello and welcome back to today's episode. In this episode, I'm going to deep dive into the communication skills for project managers, especially in the IT industry. And to guide us with that, we have an engineer turned career coach and an aspiring writer and author, Dagna Bieda. Hello, Dagna. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me today, because talking about communication skills, it's one of my passions. And for anyone out there listening, whether you're a project manager or an engineer, or you work with engineers, this is an especially critical topic. So I'm super pumped that you have me here today.
Wonderful. Honestly, I have been in the field of project management, so I'm really excited to talk to you about this communication skills for the managers and for the people who work with engineers, because I do work with engineers all the time. So, you know, I'm honestly, personally very excited. And when I, discussed about that in the community as well. So we have a WhatsApp community, and in that WhatsApp community, there are people of this podcast who listens to this podcast. And they were really excited to know about it as well. And they have questions for you as well, which I'll be asking throughout this episode.
Love it.
Yeah. And also, audience, if you are listening to this episode, that means you are interested into self-development. Why don't you join the community as well so that you can ask questions to the experts of the show as well? I hope you will be doing that. I'll be waiting for you guys. Dagna, coming back to you, what I gave was just an Instagram kind of introduction of yours, where, you know, there is just this thing where you have achieved certain things. But I would really love to know the backside story of it and a detailed and brief introduction of yours as well.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So for the spotlight, I mean, so essentially I'm, like you said, a career coach, an engineer turned career coach for engineers. And I've been coding in various programming roles and engineering roles for 10 plus years. And I've been coaching for the past 5 at this point in time. And, you know, I call myself the tough love, been in your shoes kind of coach, because I've been an engineer and I've worked with project managers, and I know exactly what it means in a day-to-day reality. I've worked at various companies, from a startup to a success, to a corporate environment, as well as a consulting and consulting agency, and doing some freelance. And so I know the reality of, you know, how critical, especially the communication aspect, is in all those different scenarios. And The reason I became a coach is because I've burned myself out in my career as an engineer. In 2019, in one beautiful September day, I had a conversation with my manager where out of nowhere, I burst into tears. And I myself was shocked to, see myself behave in such an unprofessional way. I never thought I would do something like that at a work setting. But the reality is, there were so many things going on in my both personal and professional life that I couldn't handle it anymore. And it felt like it just burst out of the seams. And it was just this proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, right? And after that meeting with my manager, I realized, okay, I'm not well. I need help. I need a third party person, someone who's professional, someone who's walked people in this situation out of it. I felt like I was in a hole. The things that used to bring a lot of joy stopped bringing joy. I didn't want to show up to work. I didn't want to wake up a lot of days, just wanted to stay in my bed. I procrastinate on the smallest of things. And the reality is, when I reached out for help, when I started talking to someone, to a therapist, a tremendous amount of changes started happening. And I realized that, if just talking to someone and being open to changing your perspective about how you think about things is just tremendous and has so many implications into how your life can change. And that really inspired me to become a coach, right? Because just talking to someone who has a perspective that you're missing out, so you can have one aha moment that will completely change the trajectory of your life, because it will change how you think. And how we think is how we act. And based on how we act and show up in the world, we see results or lack of those results. And I, as a software engineer, like to compare the human mind to a computer program. If a computer program doesn't do what I want it to do, what do I do? I dive into the code, I alter the lines, I add some new features, I fix the bugs, and all of a sudden, boom, I get the results exactly as I want them. And in a very similar way, I work with my clients. So I call our way of thinking our internal mental programming. And a lot of the time it's legacy mental code, right? Something that we got from past generations, from our parents, caregivers, family members, teachers, friends that we had growing up. And it's legacy because until we realize it, that we can change it, that we can take ownership of the code base and update whatever it is that we want to update, including improving our communication skills, that's what gives us the power to really grow, to really get the kinds of results that we're looking for in our life.
Amazing. Dagna, first of all, great comparison between a human mind and a computer. I am definitely going to use that for a lot and lots of episodes coming in the future. That was really fantastic. It actually gave me a whole lot of different perspective towards people as well. So that was really well explained. And I completely understand being a in an industry, in an IT industry specifically, there are chances of getting burned out on a, because you work on so many projects at one given point of time. And sometimes when you have that error, even in the programming, you are definitely going to spend sleepless nights just to make sure that the error is solved. Or it has been debugged, the code is debugged, right? So until that point of time, there are sleepless nights that how this will get resolved, right? So I completely
Exactly.
understand that. And I have been in that industry. I have been a programmer and now I have become a project manager. So I know being a programmer is not easy and it's really, really tough. And especially when the whole code of 700, 800 lines are written, and from that we need to find that one error or one code which needs to be debugged. That's really something which takes a lot from us. And before finding that bug as well, when we actually create a logic of, programming that entire thing, it takes a lot of us on the other side as well, because you first have to create a design. Maybe that's a designer's job, but after that, a designer did a great job. But then it's our job to actually make it, through the use of programming. So that itself takes a loads and loads of responsibility. So I completely understand that. Coming back to today's crucial episode, that is about communication skills. When you talk to people, it seems that you have somehow made sure that you have taken off some burden from your shoulder and just felt light, when you talk to someone. Now, over here, when I say about project managers, or when I say the people who are working with engineers, and I have been a project manager, and this could be the best conversation as well, because I have been a project manager, you have been a coder, and I feel the way project manager does communicate with a programmer is really amazing. And this is not the normal conversation we have, but this is a podcast episode, right? So one thing which I would really need to ask, but before that, I feel I should be making understand about what project management is to the audience. So in the IT industry, audience, project manager management is something that you become a bridge between the business users and the developers. Okay, you become a bridge between these two people. You understand the requirements from the business users, then go to the developer, explain the developer what exactly needs to be done in a more technical language. Okay, and the business user is going to make you understand in a business language, in a commercial language. So that's basically project management in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it, but this is a nutshell introduction of being a project manager. So what are your initial thoughts related to communication skills for a project manager and also for an engineer or a programmer?
So the first thing that I want to address is the fact that a lot of engineers are trained to put their technical skills very high up on a pedestal and nothing else seemed to matter, right? I mean, as an engineer, it seems as if you're being hired specifically for those technical skills. So why would you care about your soft skills if it's hard skills that landed you the job? And it's not really engineers' fault. Like, if you look at how the education system looks like, there's just so much focus and attention being put on the hard and technical skills that there's a natural deficit in the soft skills, right? And so this is the first thing. This is that perspective. And in order for your engineers to work more seamlessly with you as a project manager, you have to be able to give them the kind of feedback that will show them how the soft skills that they need in order to communicate with you can be beneficial for their career, right? Because a lot of the time, that perspective, on one hand, makes engineers be too direct, which might come across as aggressive communicators, right? And that might make it hard communicating with those engineers. But on the other hand, it also makes the engineers, when they're trying to share how their idea might benefit the project that all of y'all are working on, they're having difficult time to really sell that idea, right? Because they're missing again on the soft skills. So that's very common. So having the hard technical skills on a high pedestal is the first blocker that I see to communication between engineers and other departments, especially project managers. The second one is that sometimes we use the same vocabulary, but we actually mean something different by the words that we're using because of our domains. So we have to be especially careful about the language that we're using to communicate with each other. And as a project manager, you will use a completely different language when you're communicating with strict the business side or the salespeople versus the engineers. It's not always obvious, but that language has to be really tailored and geared towards the audience that you're talking with, right? So it's
Right.
really critical to clarify assumptions, any assumptions that anyone might have, right? Because we might be having a conversation on creating this new feature in our project, and you, Aditya, might say something like, I want all the buttons on this page to be red, whatever. And I might come out of this meeting thinking, oh, all the buttons in the app have to be red, right? And this is oversimplified example, but it's very easy to make such like not be on the same page in terms of like underlying assumptions whenever we're different project manager language with the engineering language. Like we have to be able to find that same language and the meaning of words. And a lot of the time what I find helpful is whenever something's not clear is to ask for a definition of a particular word. So, like, for example, oh, when you say a button, like, what exactly do you mean in this context that we're talking about, right? Which might sound simple, but it's very important to clarify, right? The next thing that I want to point out, the third thing, right? So, we talk about overvaluing tech skills by engineers, which makes it a little hard. The second thing is being on the same page, making sure that you're using the same language and you're clarifying the assumptions. And then the third thing that I really want to point out here is essentially what a lot of people will call having empathy. But I like to kind of bring it back to specifically having assertive communication skills. And the assertive communication skills really help you, on one hand, bring to a conversation or create in a conversation a respectful environment where everyone gets to be acknowledged, where everyone understands that they're being valued in the conversation. It's a safe space. And so you create that environment to express your concerns, right? State what it is that you're looking for, what you want, make it as clear as you can, and do so appropriately and respectfully. And then propose a solution or ask the question to a problem that you're trying to solve without trying to be manipulative or forcing your ideas on other people, and also without blaming others for the current situation. So, you know, working in tech, projects get delayed all the time, right? Deadlines are not being met. There might be features that you're trying to implement, but something comes up and you just can't move forward with your job before the thing gets addressed, right? And sometimes it's easy to think, especially for engineers who don't have the soft skills, to feel like they're working with people who are less than capable of doing their job, you know? And the reality is, everyone's trying to do their best. So trying to accuse or blame someone in a conversation is counterproductive. Because what? We're just bringing our negative emotions that we probably haven't dealt with into the picture, and we're straining the relationships that are important for us to be able to collaborate effectively together. So I know I shared a lot. Let me know what here you would like to unpack.
So, Dagna, that's wonderfully explained. You did share a lot, but I believe that all of which that you shared was really, really important as well. Because you see, and it goes both ways. The thing which you mentioned about most of the technical developers do feel that the other person is less capable of doing their job because they don't understand the technical aspects of a software. But I believe it goes both ways, because even for a project manager, when he's talking about business, okay, about the business requirement, and sometimes project managers have to take that extra effort to make technical you developers understand about that particular concept, the same thing happens with project managers as well. They feel like, how many times should I have to explain it, right? So that normally comes within the picture. And you correctly mentioned that empathy is really important while you are talking to technical developers or technical developers talking to project managers, because over there, both will understand the situation about each other. Both will be in, each other's shoes. And I believe that would be a really good world for project managers and the technical developers and the business analyst as well. So I believe that it could become a great world for these three peoples. However, going ahead, project managers taking this lead role in completing the project, and you correctly mentioned that projects do get delayed because of certain aspects. Okay. And project managers also have this responsibility of creating test scenarios and making sure that the UAT is done by the business. Okay. UAT is basically user acceptance testing, right? So that is being done under the guidance of project manager. Now, in this case, what happens is sometimes that a project manager feels that there is an issue or there is a bug in this. Developer says it works fine on my end. I don't know what's the issue, right? So, and then there is an entire simulation and then the entire thing goes ahead. Now, most of the times what happens is that technical developers denies the possibility of a bug. It says it's a new feature. We all have seen that reel on Instagram, right? It's not a bug, it's a feature. And on the other hand, project managers do have some different expectations. Okay. So this is the time where there would be conflicts arising. There would be tension in the talkings, in the communication. And one of them has to make sure that the project gets completed, or both the sides as well. What are your thoughts on it? How can these conflicts, and how can we use empathy to resolve these conflicts or just prevent these conflicts to ever happen as well?
So it's really when it comes to the conflicts and managing the expectations and not feeling it like you have to repeat yourself a million times. There's a one particular belief that I would like the listeners here to add into their legacy mental code base. And I've learned it from Jack Canfield, who's a motivational speaker and has many workshops and books on the topic. But what he says is essentially that whenever you have this belief that people are doing their best at any given moment, given their awareness, their knowledge, and their skills in order to meet their needs, they could never do anything different, right? So whenever we unpack this, it turns out that if a person is not comprehending what it is that you're saying, they either lack the awareness that there's a problem or that they're not comprehending it as you would expect them to. They lack the knowledge or information that there's something that's not clicking. So they need more information, more knowledge in order to make things click. They don't have the skills in order to either solve the problem or really fully listen and pay attention to what it is that you're saying. Or because of what's going on in their personal life, their needs are not being met. And so they're just not capable of, at the moment, paying attention to what it is that you're saying, right? And whenever we put it into context, a lot of the time, whenever you have that arrogant developer who just, excuse my language, but sounds like a total asshole, most of the times, and I can bet with you because that has been me in the past, they lack the awareness and the skills, right? Because if they knew how to communicate better, they probably would. And with this put into context, I hope it makes your listeners of the podcast be more at ease. And then if, you know, if working with those engineers is still difficult, I would totally consider just buying my book as a gift for them, because I dive very deeply into the topic of communication for engineers in one of the chapters, right? In a conversation that we're having here, Aditya, unfortunately, it's impossible to cover everything at the level of depth that I do it in the book. The book is called Brain Refactor. It's supposed to come up in the Q2 of this year, but I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of like a technical project and I've missed a few deadlines. So I'll share a link to where the book is going to finally be, and then you can share it with your listeners.
Well, Dagna, that was really a great explanation which you gave over there. And being a programmer in my past, I do understand that the programmer's rude behavior do come from certain aspects as well, because modifying the same thing 20 times, anyone would feel the heat, and the same thing will be faced by many other users as well. So I completely understand that part of programming where, a single thing needs to be modified again and again. But that's the business requirements, right? And they have to deal with that. So an engineer really has to make sure that they are good with communication. And you also said about your book. So, audience, I would like to invite you to follow this podcast on Instagram or join the community or do them both, because I'm going to put those links on the social media platform. And also, till the time Dagna's book comes out, you can always go ahead and read my sample book, which consists of three captivating stories of communication skills. So make sure to do that. I'll mention the link in the description. All you have to do is just click on it and download the book. It's an ebook, it's a PDF, it's free of cost. So make sure to do that. Coming back to you, Dagna, this question I really want to ask from the bottom of my heart, and this would be for an engineer, as far as engineers are concerned. You correctly mentioned that as well, that in the education system, we don't, engineers specifically, don't have a curriculum of soft skills. Okay. They don't know how to actually connect with people. They don't know how to, make sure that there is an empathy in their conversation. So one or couple of advices which you would like to give to an engineer, to a programmer who is spending sleepless nights, okay, creating a software, and then there is an understanding issue by a project manager or a business user and saying that this is a bug, but actually it would not be a bug, it would just that user is doing it wrong. What would you like to say to an engineer, how he should be speaking in certain situations?
So I think before we address the specific situation, one thing that I really want to share is if, as an engineer, you have more than 5 years of experience and you feel pretty good about your technical foundation, it's time to move on. It's time to expand your skill stack, not the tech stack. You're probably already in a good place there if you spent the past 5 years focusing on that, right? Or more. And by saying that you have to expand the skill stack, is that it's time to start working on those soft skills that we've mentioned that improve the communication skills. And that's regardless whether you want to pursue a technical path or you want to step on the project management path or becoming a manager in general, like a people manager. Because even as a architect or someone who is, you know, a staff engineer, they have to have the soft skills in place to communicate across business, to understand those business requirements without having that bridge person translating it for them. whenever you get to a staff level position, you have to be really good with your soft skills, not just your tech skills. And so the soft skills, or let me go back, the tech skills, the hard tech skills are the ones that get you in the career, that get you the job. But if you want to grow, if you want to be seen as the valuable professional that you are, you need to level up your soft skills. Again, regardless of the track that you are going to pursue, right? And then going back to the specific situation that you mentioned, Aditya, it's really important about, again, trying to get into the perspective of the other person. And if they're assuming they're doing their best, what it is that they're missing? Is it their awareness that's missing? Is it the skill that's missing? Is it lack of information? Or maybe they're using your app at the end of the day and they're exhausted and they just don't have the mental resources to click through the scenario that you expected them to, right? So that's kind of going back to that belief that everybody's doing their best. And it's either the knowledge or the awareness or the skills that they're missing, or their needs are not being met. So they're not able to be in that place, being, you know, using the whole capacity of their brain to do what you would expect them to do.
Right.
So I hope that helps.
Of course, of course. I do believe that would help a lot of people out there. But one thing which I would also like to address, and that would be a follow-up question as well for project managers. You see, most of the times, what happens is the projects do get delayed, and a new project manager is always in pressure that the project is getting delayed. Okay, the UATs are not being completed, the requirement is not being completed, and there are N number of different things. This is the place where project managers do get into the space of imposter syndrome as well, because the things are not getting completed, but it's not their fault. But they take it on themselves that maybe I'm not good enough to get the things done. What would you like to advise to those project managers about being in the face of imposter syndrome?
All right, so we're diving deep right from the beginning, and I'm going to say something that might be a little bit controversial. I believe that the saying that someone has an imposter syndrome is being overused in the tech industry. And sometimes you might think you have the imposter syndrome, but you actually don't. And let me tell you what's the difference, right? In tech, we do so many challenging, innovative things that you do for the very first time that you've never done before, that of course it's going to feel challenging. Of course it's going to be stretching you to your limits, but that's how you grow. So perhaps what you're going through is not an imposter syndrome, but growing pains. If you have a kid around you, like a 4 or 5 year old, they might come to you and say, "Oh, uncle, oh, mom, whatever, you know, my bones are hurting." It's just part of the process. You have to go through that discomfort in order to grow. So the question here is, what is happening in the project, right? If you're feeling that you're underwater, that you are, you know, too far out, there are two possibilities here. One is that it's the imposter syndrome and you're feeling out of depth and you're feeling like you're drowning, like you don't belong to be in the position that you're in. And my question is, how did you get to that place, right? Did you lie your way out? Or it's just a part of the growth that you were giving a more challenging task because someone saw your potential. Right. So that's the second route where, again, you're being faced with something that's challenging, but it's not the imposter syndrome. It's just the growing pains of how you're dealing with what is going on. Now, one other thing that I want to mention is that our brains are meaning-making machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question here is, how does the legacy code in your brain interpret the event? Do you not hit a deadline and you tell yourself, oh my gosh, I'm a loser. They will fire me. This is horrible. Why didn't I do more? Right? Or is your meaning-making machine telling you, okay, this was hard, but I did my best. And given the circumstances, it was just impossible to meet that deadline. Right? It's not about the event. It's not about what happened. It's about what's the meaning that you assign it in your own head. How does your legacy code interpret what's going on? And then the moment you can take ownership of that code and change the meaning to the more positive ones, that's how you shift from being in the imposter syndrome to just experiencing growing pains. But being more calm about it, being more assertive, more confident, feeling like, okay, this is just part of the job. And it wasn't comfortable, but I've learned and I'll know better next time.
Well done. That's a beautifully explained answer. I mean, it was both practical, okay, that's really amazing. And also at the same time, it was up to the mark, okay, without any hesitation, you said it out loud, and that's the best thing you can do on a podcast, telling people the exact thing which they need to hear. So that's completely amazing. And the analogy which you gave, that it might be a growing pain. And the similar thing happens when we go to a gym, right? When we start working out, we do have pains, but that's just that we are coming out of our comfort zone, okay? And when we come out of our comfort zone, we are definitely going to learn more. And in the process, we are just getting more educated and we are getting more experienced. So I believe that's really well said. Thank you so much for sharing that, Dagna. I believe that
Yeah, thank you for your kind words here.
Thank you. So I believe that's the best answer of the question which I asked ever. I mean, no one could have given the better answer than this one. So thank you so much for sharing that. We are now at almost on the verge of ending this episode, and this is going to be my last question before the last question. That would be any advice for engineers and project managers, both of them, to get along with each other in a much better and nicer way? I know that's not a valid question to ask, but I thought I can ask this because it has been asked not by me, but it has been asked by a person. His name is Shaish Rane, and he has asked this question from the community, and he himself is a business analyst, and he wanted to ask this question. Can you give these two people a valid advice so that they can get along with each other?
Assume that the other person has good and heartfelt intentions. And if they're coming across as difficult, it's because they lack the awareness, the skill, the information, or their needs are not being met, so they're not able to fully and capably be in a conversation with you. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. Right. And whenever you take that kind of attitude, it just makes life so much easier because you realize that people are not out there to get you, but they're just dealing with some invisible baggage that their coworkers just don't know about. Right. And so giving them that bit of understanding, that bit of empathy can be a massive game changer in communication. So if you assume that they have their best intentions, and if they knew how to act better, they would, that will make your life a whole lot easier.
Well said. That's really an amazing thing. Although I would say that it's a bit difficult, to implement in life. But if we do that, I'm pretty sure anyone can achieve anything in terms of communication. And I would ask that to you as well. You know, when you said this, it seems very easy, but when we try to implement it, it becomes difficult. At the time of a furious discussion, this doesn't come to mind. Is there anything which you would like to say, like how can we implement this in our day-to-day life? How can we think about it in a furious conversation we are having with a developer or a developer to project manager as well?
Yeah, and I get that. It's not easy, but it's a skill. It's something that you get to practice. And as you practice, you get better and better, right? And so, whenever you are in a heated argument and you're trying to just like contain yourself because you're a volcano inside that's about to explode, what I recommend to do is take a moment to breathe, right? Take a moment to calm your nervous system down, because the more activated you are, the more difficult it is to have a reasonable and calm conversation. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, as humans in our evolutionary history, we evolved in a way that helps us survive. In the moments of heated arguments back in the caveman days, what were they fighting about? Most likely about the resources that would make them either live or die. So there's a lot at stake here. So getting, all hyped up in order to either fight or flight, that was evolutionary way of helping us survive as species, right? And so the same kind of mechanisms are playing out right now, and in order to calm yourself in a situation, you have to kind of calm your caveman part of your brain by taking a moment to breathe, to soothe yourself down. Or just say, excuse me, just say something like, hey, can we table this conversation and come back in 15 minutes? Maybe you need to turn your Zoom off, take a walk, get a breath of fresh air, do some push-ups. I don't know, whatever works for you to calm yourself down. Because from that point, being in the middle of a heated argument, you're not going to have access to that reasonable and logical part of your brain that is trying to get everybody on the same page. You're going to be in that caveman part of your brain that is just trying to fight for the resources in order to survive. Now, it doesn't sound rational at all, but that's how our brains work. And that's, the one thing that I can give you, that if you're in a heated argument, take a break, step away, come back and resume, and everybody's going to be for the better.
Wonderfully said, Dagna. That is one of the best things which you said, and I believe this will help a lot of audience out there, and it has definitely helped me for sure. And I believe that I have written down certain points as well, so that I'll be remembering it while going to office tomorrow. So thank you so much for sharing all the things which you shared on this episode. One last thing, and I promise this would be the last thing I ask. If people wants to get connected with you, if people wants to ask more questions to you, how can they find you on the internet?
So the best way to reach out to me would be on LinkedIn. Just find my name, Dagna Bieda, and connect. I would love to connect. Or you can just look up my website, themindfuldev.com. On the website, I have a case study that dives deep into how I help my clients level up in their careers. And so that's another way how you and I could connect together.
Wonderfully said. People, I know that's a lot to take. So I'll mention each and every link in the description. You are just a click away from Dagna Bieda. And I would say, please get connected with her, send her a message, and let her know that you have listened to her on podcast on personality development, so that she will give you a reply and you'll be the first one to get a reply. Okay, so make sure to mention that. So thank you, Dagna, for this insightful conversation. Thank you so much for taking out your time and being a part of this show. I really, really appreciate it. Any lasting message which you would like to give to the audience?
I just want to say that I had a blast being here and having conversation with you, Aditya. And so thank you so much for having me on here today.
Thank you so much for the kind words, Dagna, and I'm sure the feelings are mutual. I did have a wonderful conversation with you today, and I'm sure many people have added some values in their lives after listening to this episode. So, audience, if you feel the same, if you feel that this episode and this podcast adds value in your life, then make sure to share it with your loved ones. And all the project managers, do share it with the engineers you work with. With that being said, this is Aditya Mehta, along with Dagna Bieda, signing off from this episode. See you in the next one. Till then, peace out.